The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Immunity Armor Gold is the most advanced immunity-boosting formula you can get in one product. Go to ImmunityArmorGold.com and use the promo code TOD10 to get 10% off. That's ImmunityArmorGold.com, promo code TOD10.
Live from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Happy Friday, America. Good to be with you. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. We are America's choice. Noon to 3 Eastern for conservative common sense conversation. And even a few chuckles along the way. We are, folks, just delighted, tickled pink, mind you, to be hanging out with you today. I got a question for you. We mentioned this yesterday just on the fly, and Grace Baker, I did not give you your due diligence by something you said during yesterday's program. I was, again, at the supermarket, you know, with the ankle. I'm just now beginning to get about.
Venture out into the world.
And I realize that some of the best physical therapy, and really one of the safest, because you don't want to keel over somewhere,
at
Shelby Farms, you know, the park where the geese would come over and try to, you know, peck at you, and you don't want that.
Geese are no joke.
So it's at the Kroger. I've been at the Kroger.
Okay,
and
fair.
So with the shopping cart, it kind of steadies you, and you're able to sort of move at your own pace.
Sure.
As I'm going through the, this ankle issue. And so anyway, I'm going so slow, I'm able to hear a lot of the conversations, and people are really fired up over the cost of food at the supermarket.
Well, it directly impacts everyone.
And now they're telling us this is going to be the most expensive Thanksgiving dinner in the history of Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And people are really getting upset about this. Turkeys, there is some sort of a shortage. For whatever reason, there's a shortage of turkeys in America. So a lot of families may not even be able to have a turkey for Thanksgiving.
That's just sad.
You know what we should ask people? I am curious about this. I am not... This may make me un-American, but I'm not that big of a turkey fan. I'm really not.
I don't think you're alone on that. It's not my favorite either.
But I will say this. I prefer the deep-fried turkey over the traditional roasted turkey.
That's fair.
And I'm curious to know from our listeners. You know they're going to call in with recipes and stories here. But I am curious, throughout the day, do you guys prefer the deep-fried or the roasted? You know, a lot of people thought deep fried turkeys, that was a fad, but I think deep fried is here to stay.
Oh yeah, I know a lot of people that do that.
So in the context of our conversation, Grace, you mentioned that you're going to be cooking Thanksgiving, some like portions of the Thanksgiving meal.
Sure.
This year.
Yeah, I have my own contribution.
This is your first, because is this the first?
It's my second, but
right.
You know, last year was still kind of weird. It was 2020, so still a little weird. So this year's like totally normal.
So what are you preparing? Do you know what you're going to make?
I'm making crayon apple casserole.
So, all right. So what is, I've never heard of this before. What is a crayon apple casserole?
So basically, in a nutshell, you've got your cranberries, your Granny Smith apples, your brown sugar, your chopped up pecans, more sugar, and you put it in the oven, but the nuts are like the topping. And you put it in the oven, and it's just, it's really good. It's the perfect mixture of tartness and sweetness.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. You got to bring
it's
us
easy.
A sample here.
Oh, so. I will.
Right. Well,
easy.
Look, that's a big deal. A newlywed, and that's the big thing is like Thanksgiving, and eventually, I suppose, you'll have to cook the whole meal one of these days.
Oh, goodness. I feel sorry for those people.
I say that because Breitbart's got a story up, ladies and gentlemen. The basic Christmas cookie. All of the ingredients that you need to make your Christmas cookies, it's going to cost you more than $9 in many $9 more than what you would normally pay in many cities across America. So that being said, inflation is out of control, and now it's very encouraging to see the networks jump in on this now, because this is all that anybody's talking about is how much things are costing, and the price continues to skyrocket. This is what we call inflation, ladies and gentlemen. And it is at a 31-year high, and this is all because of the Biden administration's policies. Now, the concern I have is, okay, well, if we're at a 31-year high now, what is it going to look like next year at this time? Keep in mind, everything that's been done to this country, the economy, the border that's been overrun, Afghanistan, leaving behind American citizens, all of this has been done not even in the first year of the Biden administration. So I'm curious to know if you have had to make some sort of adjustment in your Thanksgiving meal, if you are seeing the same thing we are seeing, which is shortages in your local supermarkets. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, we got a lot to talk about today, folks, and it is absolutely insane what's happening with our friends over at Project Veritas. We're going to be speaking with Will Chamberlain, who runs Human Events, a great website. They have been at the forefront of exposing a lot of the corruption within Washington, D.C. And we're going to also be talking with Senator Marsha Blackburn. She's coming up a little bit later. The NBA now threatening players who speak out against China. Now, the Rittenhouse trial, let me give you an update here on where we are. The jury has been recessed, so there's nothing happening today. We're anticipating, again, anticipating that maybe this could go to the jury sometime next week. But I'm telling you here, folks, the mainstream media, they are completely sold out against Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, even President Biden, who called Kyle Rittenhouse on the campaign trail a white supremacist, a racist. And thank goodness for the judge in the case. He's a rock solid judge. And he's not taking any guff from this prosecutor, who is the assistant district attorney, who needs to be brought up on prosecutorial misconduct charges based on what he's doing. This guy's trying to get a mistrial. He knows that the case is lost. And if that is the case, the judge needs to step in and declare a mistrial with prejudice, which means they will not be able to go back and try Kyle Rittenhouse again. But I really hope it just goes to the jury, because there's no way a right-thinking jury is gonna convict Kyle Rittenhouse on any of these charges. None whatsoever. But this is the mindset, and for us to truly understand what's happening here, you've got to go to the folks over at CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. This is Don Lemon explaining, putting all of this into context, because this is truly what the Democrats believe when it comes to the Antifa and Black Lives Matter mobs when they come to your town.
This is the ultimate entitlement that, again, you can insert yourself into a situation with a gun that you're not supposed to be carrying, kill two people, injure, and it is you are made to be a hero by the public. You see someone jogging down the street and you take it into your hands. You think it's your responsibility to stop that person when you're not even sure if they are committing a crime, because what? It is your street. It is your town. It is your country. It is the ultimate degree of entitlement when people believe that this is how they're supposed to be. What the right is saying about Kyle Rittenhouse is that, well, the government didn't do its job, so it took a 17-year-old kid to come in and do what was right. That's vigilantism. That's not what people are not supposed to be vigilantes. We're not supposed to be taking justice into our own hands. Imagine if every single person in America did that.
Now, Don Lemon, who, by the way, is an accused sexual predator, and we're going to get to that story in just a moment. So Don Lemon is saying, how dare all of you people out there trying to protect your homes from the mob. Don Lemon is saying these people, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they have a right to burn down your house. They have a right to pillage and plunder your local business. They have a right to rape your women and children. They have a right. How dare you? Who do you think you are? That's what Don Lemon just said over on CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. So you heard Don Lemon say that this idea of being able to stand and protect yourself. And again, keep in mind, the videos clearly show that in every single instance where someone was shot, Kyle Rittenhouse was in fact the victim. But Don Lemon is saying that white boy should have allowed himself to be shot. That's what Don Lemon is saying. The white guy deserved to be shot. He says this notion, this idea that you have a right to protect your home or your property or yourself with deadly force if need be is the ultimate degree of entitlement. And you know what? It is the ultimate degree of entitlement. That is our right under the United States Constitution. That is our right under the state constitutions. When we are facing imminent death, we are allowed to defend ourselves and our lives. Now, Don Lemon may not like that, but this is what we have in America. And you're darn tootin', it is an entitlement. It's a right we have. Now, if you want to have the argument and the debate whether or not Kyle Rittenhouse should have been there, okay, fine, you can have that debate, but that's not criminal. This young man was free to go wherever he wanted to go. This young man had a right to protect his life, and he did. Otherwise, I suspect they would have beaten this young man to death. And by the way, can we just talk about Rosenbaum, please? Joseph Rosenbaum, the man who was killed after he tried to attack the 17-year-old boy. This guy is a convicted child predator and child rapist. His victims, five in all, ages 9 to 11 years old. Now, if you want to indict somebody, what about the judicial system that let that guy out of prison? I want to know, why was Rosenbaum walking the streets of Kenosha looking for another innocent child to prey upon? Well, as we all know, he preyed upon the wrong child in Kenosha, Wisconsin during those riots. But again, why was that guy even out of jail? Anybody want to talk about that? That is an inconvenient conversation to have, because the reality is, if Rosenbaum would have been behind bars where that pervert and sexual deviant deserved to be, he would still be alive today. All right, we got to take a break here. We're going to the phones, 844-747-8868. Sort of a free-for-all this first hour of the show. If you want to talk about the Rittenhouse trial, we're going to do that. We're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. Maybe you have some recommendations, suggestions for how to cut some corners but still have a great Thanksgiving meal in spite of Biden's inflation. Give us a holler, 844-747-8868. Live show blog is up and running over at the website. All of the music, by the way, the bumper music, we're going to have all of that there for you. So if you want to download that music, you can do so as well. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back, America.
Christmas is just around the corner, and if you are in one of the big box stores, you're not going to find My Pillow, and there's a reason why. They've been kicked out of many big box stores because of the cancel culture mob, and that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you, and that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of My Pillow for their classic standard pillow, normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. And MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Also, use the promo code STARNS. Merry Christmas, everybody.
All right, morning, folks. Welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us. Let's go right to the phones. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our good friend Jerry the Liberal from Milwaukee wants to weigh in on the Rittenhouse trial. Jerry, I'm curious, are folks there in Wisconsin paying close attention to what's happening?
Yeah, I think people throughout the country are paying close attention. And this might surprise you a little bit, but if I was on the jury, I probably wouldn't vote to convict him.
Is that right? Why is that?
Because I'm not looking at the political motivations. That doesn't matter to me. What the politics of the person is or of the other people are. What matters is there beyond a reasonable doubt that he committed a crime? And there's I don't think so. I mean, I've watched the video, and there's grounds for self-defense, and I don't think it goes beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, I want to be clear. I don't think this guy is a hero at all, this kid. He violated the law. He's underage. He illegally possessed a firearm. He put himself in a bad situation. He was acting like he was a cop, and he's not even an adult. I think the guy is an idiot. I don't think he's the least bit heroic. People shouldn't make him as some kind of hero figure. But did he act in self-defense depending on the situation? It looks like it. So that's why I wouldn't convict.
You know, Jerry, I found it fascinating. And by the way, I consider you, I know you're a liberal, but I consider you to be a fair arbiter of things. I mean, we can all look at the video, and I think we can all agree, I mean, that what we saw in that video and then the testimony coming from the guy, the prosecution actually made the defense's case for them based on the witnesses that they put on the stand, which was really kind of shocking. So you do wonder what this assistant district attorney is up to here, because clearly his case is not going in the direction he thought it was.
Well, yeah, I mean, that shows that prosecutors manipulate, and, you know, this is not just in this Howard case, but what prosecutors do. Prosecutors often just want to get a conviction, you know, and that's a problem throughout the country.
You know what? But you're right about that, Jerry. And I think every American ought to be paying very close attention to see how all of this works, because you're right. It's not about the facts. It's about how the facts are manipulated. And that troubles me. I think you're onto something there. And we need to take a serious look at our justice system in this country.
Oh, yeah, I could go on for hours about the problem with the justice system in the country. Yeah, there's a lot of problems.
All right. Well, Jerry, I'm kind of speechless, because normally we're yelling at each other about now. So,
yes, or at least a little bit raised voice.
Right. I know. What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Jerry?
I'm going by my sister.
Well, good for you. Look, it's going to cost an arm and a turkey leg. I'll tell you that much, my friend. All right, Jerry the Liberal, right. Ladies and gentlemen. Grace, I didn't know what to do. Normally, Jerry and I do not agree.
Got to keep you on your toes.
But I think that shows people how egregious this prosecution is of this kid. And you know what? Jerry's right. The kid was not supposed to have that weapon legally. He'll have to pay the price for that, whatever that might be. Was the kid stupid? Yeah. Well, I think mom and dad. I go back to, why did you let your kid Why would you let your kid be in that kind of a situation? Did he behave heroically? I think he did. And I think that in his heart, he meant to do good. And I think he did. He stood guard with his friends and with other people, making sure that businesses were not being burned down. So look, motivation, I think, was incredibly pure. But again, if you're a mom or a dad, I just don't get it why you would let your kid. And by the way, fine. Okay, your kid wants to go down there and be a part of that. Mom, dad, you've got a responsibility to go down there and stand alongside your kid and make sure nothing happens to him. 844-747-8868. Real quick, let's go to Matt in North Carolina, wants to weigh in. All right, Matt, we've got about 30, 45 seconds here.
Okay, thank you, Todd. You know, that was really something. Joy Behar, you hear about her squawking like a hen laying an egg in a coop.
All right,
so had no business. He had no business, Kyle Rittenhouse had no business. He left one state to go to the other. He had no business going there. Blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? He was a different host, I can't mention his name, said yesterday. He said, wait a minute. The guy was a convicted child rapist. He's going to kill. He messed with the wrong child this time. I mean, it's, come on, man, like Biden would say.
Well, look, I mean, and again, Kyle Rittenhouse had no way of knowing that all of these guys had criminal backgrounds, but we were dealing with Antifa here, and that's what's, you know, this is sort of getting lost in the conversation, is that these were some bad dudes out there on the streets. And the guy who said he was a paramedic, well, he may not have been a paramedic, or maybe his paramedic license was revoked, or had, I don't know. These were bad guys. All of them had trouble with the law, some more so than others. But all I know is, you know, thanks to Kyle Rittenhouse, children in Kenosha, Wisconsin are safe. I do know that. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Let's get to the phones real quick here. 844-747-8868. Our good friend Janice from New Orleans wants to weigh in on all of this Thanksgiving food and the high cost at the supermarket. Janice, welcome back to the show. What's going on?
Hello, Todd. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. No, this is what I do for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. The Hormel company has these little meals that you can just put in the microwave. You know, you got chicken Alfredo and all kinds of different ones. But they also have turkey and dressing. So what I do is, like, for you know, Thanksgiving and for Christmas, I'll get that, and I'll have that. And then on the side, I make my own dressing. I get the boxes of the stovetop stuffing mix, and then I cook that, and then I get chicken liver, and I boil that, and I chop that up, and I put that in with that. Then I put it in a pan, and I sprinkle it with breadcrumbs, and I put it in the oven till I, you know, just dark and, you know, roast the breadcrumbs on top a little bit. So I've got my dressing, then I got my turkey, and there's some dressing in with the Hormel. It's called Hormel Completes. And then I get a couple of cans of carrots and a couple of cans of yams, and away I go. And it's just so nice. And years ago, what I used to do, I'd make my dressing at Thanksgiving and make it again at Christmas. And one day it struck me. I said, oh, stupid, come on. Just make enough now. And then save, you know, eat what you're going to have for Thanksgiving and a couple of days after. And then put the rest in the freezer there, and that way at Christmas I don't have to make it again.
Now, Janice, let me ask you a question. Have you noticed the food prices going up at the supermarket?
I don't know. I haven't been inside the supermarket. What I've been doing, I've been ordering the stuff on the computer, and then my husband goes to the parking lot and picks it up. I mean, I haven't really myself, but I mean, I haven't been buying a lot of meats and stuff. I use Italian sausage a lot and different things in my Blue Runner red beans. And you know, maybe I use a little Italian sausage, too.
So it has an impact.
Sausage in my jambalaya.
So it hasn't impacted you that much, is what you're saying?
No.
Oh, that's
good. I realize it's impacting other people, depending on the items they buy. And then, of course, with the food chain thing the way it is and the truck drivers and everything, I think this is absolutely horrible. And Joe Biden is the worst president we've ever had.
No argument there, Janice. And always good hearing from you. And okay. I'm sure you'll give us a call back before Thanksgiving. Joy Reid over at MSDNC actually is now admitting that inflation is a problem.
Okay, unless you've been living under a rock this year, you've probably noticed that your money isn't going as far as it used to, with higher prices on gas, food, and your energy bill. That would be inflation. And today, the Labor Department announced that it's at its highest level in 30 years.
The highest in 30 years. And it's only going to get worse. So I don't know what you're doing, but you better stock up, because, folks, it is getting bad out there. It is getting bad. We mentioned Don Lemon earlier in the program, and for a long time now, we have been one of the few people that have been calling out Don Lemon and CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown, for a cover-up that they have been waging for quite some time involving an incident out in the Hamptons, which is a very high-profile area of Long Island. A lot of the wealthy New Yorkers have homes out there, very, very high-profile area, and Don Lemon is out there quite a bit. He was at a place called Murph's Bar and came under fire for something that happened at Murph's Bar. So a lot of people in the media have covered this story up, but we have not. And I'm glad to hear that Megyn Kelly actually had Don Lemon's victim on her podcast the other day. So here's the deal. Don Lemon is accused of basically sexually assaulting a straight man at Murph's Bar. And CNN, their only reaction to it is that the guy who had been assaulted, sexually assaulted by Don Lemon, is not a fan of CNN and had written some very bad things about CNN on his social media pages. And I got to tell you, if Don Lemon had done to me what he did to this guy, Justin Heiss, I can assure you that I would hold CNN in contempt as well. So we're going to play a couple of sound bites here from this interview that Megyn Kelly did with Mr. Heiss, who is the victim. He is a good, decent man. I understand he's a Christian, has a girlfriend, and he was working at the bar. And he described what happened when Don Lemon came up to him. A drunk Don Lemon came up to him at the bar, cut number 8.
Yeah, so after he says, do you like me? Is that why you're effing with me? And I said, no, I just wanted to say what's up, man. And I look at my boss and I look back and he has his hand in his pants, rubbing himself aggressively. And he shoves his two fingers up underneath my mustache, thrusts my head back and says, do you like pussy? And he said it like 2 or 3 times after that. And I just said, what the hell, man? And I just ran out the back door.
So he was asked by Don Lemon if he liked P or D, and you can figure that out for yourself. Now, and the guy goes on to say later on, because Megyn Kelly asked what he did, and he said he ran out of the bar. He was like, dude, what's going on? And ran out of the bar. But the guy later said, you know, now some guys would have just knocked the living daylights out of Don Lemon, would have put him on the floor. But he didn't do that. He just ran out of the bar. So now he's suing Don Lemon. This guy Heiss is a seasonal bartender there at Murph's Bar. And he goes on to talk about it. Megyn Kelly, he explains who he is in all of this. Cut number, and again, why Don Lemon is still on the air. I mean, this happened back in, 2019? Don Lemon is still on the air.
So he was rubbing his genitals, and then he shoved the fingers that he was doing it with in your nose and your face.
Correct.
Did it strike you as something he had ever done before?
I don't know. Anybody that acts like that in public and without any fear of what it might do to somebody or the consequences it might have, that's a pattern, you know. It's... I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's protected by the fact that he's African-American, gay man on television, and I'm just some nobody.
Well, let's qualify that. He's a straight white nobody, and that's a straight white male nobody, and that's why. That's why Don Lemon is being protected. And the guy's spot on accurate here, and I hope he wins his case. Nobody should be subjected to that. But going back to something Don Lemon said earlier about, remember what we were talking earlier in this hour. Don Lemon said that Americans don't have a right to protect themselves. Right? That's what Don Lemon said. Cut number 11. Let's take a listen.
This is the ultimate entitlement that, again, you can insert yourself into a situation with a gun that you're not supposed to be carrying, kill 2 people, injure, and you are made to be a hero by the public. You see someone jogging down the street, and you take it into your hands. You think it's your responsibility to stop that person when you're not even sure if they are committing a crime because, what? It is your street. It is your town. It is your country. It is the ultimate degree of entitlement when people believe that this is how they're supposed to be. What the right is saying about Kyle Rittenhouse is that, well, the government didn't do its job, so it took a 17-year-old kid to come in and do what was right. That's vigilantism. That's not what people are not supposed to be vigilantes. We're not supposed to be taking justice into our own hands. Imagine if every single person in America did that.
So in Don Lemon's mind, he is a gay black man, and he has more rights than anybody else. Don Lemon, in his mind, this warped, perverted brain of his, he believes that he has a right to walk into a bar and target a straight white guy and go over there and do inappropriate things to the guy. And the guy has no right to do anything about it, because if he does, that is a demonstration of privilege and entitlement. So Don Lemon, in his mind, thinks that he's the victim here in all of this. He's really just a pervert who wears makeup on TV. That's Don Lemon from CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Mary Lynn in Minnesota, hanging out with us on the live stream today. Mary Lynn, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. Well, I first of all, we haven't seen you for a long time. When are you going to be back in the Midwest?
Oh, I've got to get out there very soon.
Pardon?
I've got to get out there one of these days.
You do. You do. We need to work on that. So the main reason I'm calling today, I know you were talking about schools again the other day, and Gary and I have for a long time been very, very concerned about what's going on in the public schools, not only here in Minnesota, but across the country. And so we decided that we're going to put some money where our mouth is, and we set up a scholarship fund for kids who would attend Sioux Falls Christian School in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And we chose that school because, you know, we have family in South Dakota. And we've followed that school and the kids that have graduated from there for several years. And the positive impact that those kids are having not only on their community and their friends, but our country and the whole world. One of the graduates and her husband now live in Haiti, where they've set up a medical clinic, and they're hoping to establish a hospital there where they can treat patients for hardly any money at all, and they can minister to their souls as well as their bodies. And there are many, many, many examples of this. And so I don't know whether you'd allow me to promote the scholarship on your show, but I know many people would probably say, well, that's so far away from us, why would we do it? But I think our whole reason for doing this is because we all know that the kids that are in school today are going to be our country's leaders pretty soon. And they're going to go out to the whole world and have an impact, good or bad. And we've seen, like I said, we've seen the results of some of the kids that have come out of the school.
Is this about, are you talking about Briarcrest Christian School in the Memphis? We were talking about this school earlier in the week.
Yes, not that school, but, you know, somebody might like to do the same thing there if they didn't like to. If they'd like to just look at Sioux Falls Christian School online and to see the fabulous things they're doing and contribute to that fund.
Okay.
They could do that. And we have actually set up they have several families that they manage funds for. And so we were thinking when we set it up that we'd have to get a 501c3 and get legal advice and do all these things. It would take months and months. So we met with the superintendent this week and told him our story and where we were hoping to go with this. And we wanted to set up some kind of fund that would go on long after we're here. And he just listened to us, and he said, you know, he said, we have some things in place that we could set it up for you. We could manage your fund, and you could direct it any way you want. And he said, if you want to be very involved, you could be. If you don't want much involvement. And so we set it up, because primarily it'll be people that we know that would contribute to it. We set it up so that we won't see the names of any people who contribute or any amounts. All we'll get is periodic updates on the amount of the fund, and then when they have a someone who's applied for one of the scholarships. And so we're not doing it to get our name out there, but we just want to get as many kids as we can in a good Christian school. And this school has such a reputation, they even have several international students coming there.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mary Lynn. So, we'll be right back. All right, folks. Welcome back to the show. All right. We need to have a conversation here for just a moment before we go to the phones here. Now, look, we love taking calls from our listeners, but when you tell Grace Baker that you're going to come on and you want to talk about a specific issue, and then you come on this program and you talk about something else, we just don't play that game. And so just fair warning, if that happens down the road, you will be banned from calling this program. Because we have a lot of people all over America that want to come in and talk about the issues of the day. So I want you to remember that we love hearing from you, but you gotta help us out here. And it is incredibly unfair to our great call screener when you pull that kind of nonsense. All right, let's go to the phones. Jason, Jefferson, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN, wants to weigh in on the Rittenhouse trial. All right, Jason, what's on your mind?
Well, my feeling is that, and how are you today, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. So many people back in the day, World War I, World War II, they lied about their age. They went in and took up arms for our country. Who's to say that this kid didn't do the same thing? You know, maybe he's just a lot more of a man than a lot of the men that we're raising.
But he broke the law.
Yeah, he absolutely broke the law. But did he break? And let me preface this. And say, yeah, mom and dad are very much should be the ones that's sitting there in that chair instead of him. But at the same time, he was defending his town, his city, or what he thought was right. And perhaps that he just had enough of what we're all dealing with the Black Lives Matter and else. Other things.
Yeah, but the problem with that, Jason, is that he didn't get that gun for that. I mean, this happened well before the riots took place, and he knew what he was doing was wrong. Look, he'll probably get a slap on the wrist for that, but again, if we want to talk about law and order, we got to talk about law and order, and if he did something wrong, he'll have to pay the penalty for that.
And that I agree with as well. He was definitely doing wrong, definitely in the wrong place, and definitely doing the wrong thing. He should not have been there. But at the same time, I feel like that he was defending his town, and maybe he'd had enough.
Yes, I hear what you're saying there, and I don't think there was any look. I think I think it was pure. What he was trying to do was a noble thing, but he's a stupid. He's a kid, 17 years old, Jason.
Yes.
And again, mom, if I'm the mom or the dad, I'm like, okay, fine, we're going to go, but I'm going with you. I'm not going to allow you to be put in danger. Just think about this. He could have been killed. And those parents would
absolutely. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You got 10 seconds.
I was going to say we're absolutely in total agreement. You know, if my 14-year-old daughter decided to do something to that effect, yeah, first off, she wouldn't be there as a 14-year-old daughter. But at the other stance, yes, I would be there with her.
All right, Jason, we got to run. That music means we got to take a break. Hey, folks, 844-747-8868. Guilty or innocent? Kyle Rittenhouse. What about the mainstream media? What do you think about those guys? Jeez, Lou. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us all over America. 115 radio stations strong, and we are adding affiliates all over the place. By the way, you folks in Colorado Springs, we're coming to your town very soon. Baltimore, Maryland. You folks listening to WCBM, we're going to have some very exciting news for you guys coming up as well. All that to say, we may need a larger front porch around here on this program. Hey, go ahead and write down our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Well, there is a big story brewing within the NBA where a basketball player from the Boston Celtics says he was threatened by the NBA for criticizing China. Enes Kanter is his name, and he was pressured by the NBA to stop saying bad things about China. Well, one of the key people up on Capitol Hill that's been going after the NBA and going after these communist China sympathizers is our good friend. She is the senator from the state of Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn. She's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator, good to have you with us today.
It is good to be with you, and thanks for keeping the pressure on this issue with China, because China is, their whole intent is to be globally dominant. They want to be the ruler of the world. And Xi Jinping is intent on this. And the thing is, Todd, their goal for doing this by taking control of the United States, their goal is middle point of this century. So China is in overdrive. And I appreciate that you're keeping the attention on why we need to be keeping the pressure on China.
I mean, we're talking about a nation that is engaged in horrific behavior. They are torturing and punishing so many people, including many people of various faith groups. And yet you have the NBA, and there are others in America, but predominantly the NBA, for, and I would be willing to say, for money, for financial reasons, they're turning a blind eye to all of this.
Well, that's exactly right. And you've heard talk about the genocide that is being carried out against the Uyghurs, and that is the Muslim minority population in China. And the Chinese Communist Party surveils them, they track them, they use them as slave labor in Xinjiang province. Part of what they're making is NBA-licensed merchandise that then is sold around the globe. China is a big market for the NBA. The NBA has their training camp there in Xinjiang province. And, of course, they claim that they have never seen anything that would indicate any type of control or slavery or genocide, but we have other reports and, of course, surveillance that is coming from drones that shows some of this movement and activity. So we know that it's happening, and, of course, the NBA has a very lucrative contract with China TV, and because of this, they are putting pressure on athletes and managers and coaches to be China cozy. And Enes Kanter is just a good example of that. He speaks out against the genocide and about some of these actions. And what does the NBA do? They don't go after China. They go after one of their players.
It's just appalling, and again, I'm not a big NBA fan, but by and large, people need to start making some decisions where they spend their money, and maybe they ought to reconsider going to NBA basketball games.
Well, I would think that they should, and buying this merchandise that is made in China, slave labor. You know, China is going to continue to double down. And we know that they're going to do that because they don't think the Biden administration is going to come after them. And they feel like they've got a runway that is opened up for them to accelerate their position of dominance. And they are doing this militarily through great power competition. They are doing it commercially through their Belt and Road Initiative. They are doing it diplomatically through what they call their debt diplomacy, where they go into developing nations and they say, oh, we will give you all the technology that you need to come into the 21st century. It's all Huawei technology. It's embedded with spyware and malware. And they do the financing. And we have some countries who 80% of the debt that they owe is owed to China. So what China will do is come in and override these countries and take control of these countries and turn them into Chinese Communist Party outposts.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, I know that you've also been paying very close attention to the unraveling of the Steele dossier. Adam Schiff now running for cover, saying, how are they supposed to know that somebody lied to Christopher Steele or the FBI? And you make a brilliant point on your Twitter page.
Well, and of course they knew that they were being lied to. The Intel Committee had documents. All you have to do is listen to Devin Nunes, and he will tell you they knew that this was a fake document. But the point is, Adam Schiff always wanted to be a playwright and an actor. And he saw this as his opportunity to write a grand script. And you had the Clinton campaign. You had the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Obama White House, people like Schiff and Pelosi and Schumer. They were all part of this. They knew that this was not a valid document. They knew that the FBI, the agents knew they were being lied to, but they moved forward with it anyway because you had James Comey and Andrew McCabe and Strzok and Page, and they were all in cahoots with the Clinton campaign.
I mean, this is
some of these congressional leaders.
This is the deep state that President Trump was talking about. And a little bit later on, we've got Will Chamberlain from Human Events coming on to talk about this crazy story with Project Veritas. But what are the odds that the FBI would raid Project Veritas and the next day those internal privileged documents ended up in the hands of New York Times reporters? I mean, I don't think we're dealing with rogue agents. I think we're dealing with a government agency that has been completely infected.
Oh, totally. Totally, they've been infected, and they're in cahoots with these people. And you're exactly right. How does it go from investigation to the pages of the New York Times, but then somebody from Congress asked for something and we can't even get a response to a letter? And then you look at the National School Board Association working with the White House and saying, hey, we've got to do something about these parents that are showing up at school board meetings. My goodness, they're asking questions. They're losing their temper. They're raising their voices. And we don't want this. Do something. Call them domestic terrorists. So then the White House tells the DOJ to send out a memo, and within 4 days, the DOJ sends out a memo saying you will be investigated if you're harassing or intimidating or trying to incite violence. We're all against violence. Nobody should want that, but individuals have the right to peacefully protest and to question their government. It is called living in a democratic society.
Well said. Senator, we're going to leave it there. I know you're busy. You're in the middle of a 95-county tour of the great state of Tennessee. I heard you were in the Shelby County area today. Is that accurate intel?
Absolutely.
Yes, that's accurate intel. We're working the west side of the state today.
Love it. Hey,
they're on the Mississippi River.
Well, if you're on Poplar Avenue in Germantown, watch that speed limit. They've got a couple of traps over there. So
I'll be careful.
All right.
Thanks, Todd.
Senator Marsha Blackburn, ladies and gentlemen, on the road. And, you know, I honestly, out of all the stuff we were talking about, the most important is what she's doing right now. She's not in Washington. She's back in the home district doing what senators ought to be doing. And I know the people of Tennessee. I am one of her constituents. I appreciate that. And you should demand that of your elected leaders as well. They need to be back home in their home states, not hanging out with the lobbyist up on Capitol Hill. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, we've been following Joe Biden's approval numbers, and they have completely cratered record lows. When you watch the guy, he's incredibly confused, rambling, incoherent. Our good buddy over at Newsmax TV, Grant Stinchfield, is on the case, and he's wondering who's really in charge in Washington. And when you look at Biden, that guy's not in charge. He cannot be running the country, so who is? Well, tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, Stinchfield is revealing the truth about Kamala Harris, Pelosi, Schumer, and all the secret cast of characters behind Biden's socialist agenda. And Stinchfield says, hey, you need to pay attention. You need to be concerned about all of this. Millions of people watching Stinchfield on Newsmax, one of the top cable news networks in the nation. Newsmax is your trusted news source. You can find it on all cable channels. And by the way, you can also download the Newsmax app. You can watch TV on your smartphone, and it will not cost you a single penny. Forbes magazine says Newsmax is now a news powerhouse, and you can see why tonight. Stinchfield, 8 o'clock on Newsmax. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us on this Friday. You know, we said yesterday that we were going to throw out a few trivia questions, and you know, I think this is a great time to do that. We were talking about the FBI, and by the way, Will Chamberlain from Human Events coming up in just a few minutes. We were talking about the FBI raiding folks, the homes of people involved with Project Veritas, and it's over an Ashley Biden diary. And we want to know who is the founder, who created Project Veritas. If you know that individual's name, give us a call. The guy who created Project Veritas. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And we'll be taking your calls on that momentarily. In the meantime, CBS News, CBS had to delete a tweet yesterday. The folks over at CBS News had already determined that Kyle Rittenhouse was guilty of murder. And they were actually forced to delete the tweet saying that Rittenhouse testified that he murdered two men. Unbelievable. But this is sort of the blatant narrative coming out of the left when it comes to Kyle Rittenhouse. Look, here's what you need to understand. This is not the first time that we've seen something like this happen. In the mainstream media's eyes, we've got a straight white guy who's a conservative. He owns a gun. Therefore, he is an evil person. That is the mindset of the left. So therefore, they believe that this guy should have been killed. Kyle Rittenhouse, in their minds, should have been killed in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Kyle Rittenhouse had no right to defend himself. We heard Don Lemon testify to that or say that last night on CNN, the most profane name in news. So we know this is how they operate. So where is all of this going? Well, we've been down this path before. And what is that path? We know for a fact that this is what happened with Justice Kavanaugh. He was accused of being a heinous sex addict, and there was not a shred of evidence, not any evidence. But it didn't matter. They just make it all up. It doesn't matter. Look at what happened with the Covenant Catholic High School kids. They said these boys were on the Washington Mall at the March for Life, and they were abusing Native Americans. They were abusing blacks when, in fact, it was the boys, as video evidence later showed, it was the boys who were the victims. It was the boys who were being slandered and smeared and mocked and bullied by the Indians and the African-American folks that were out there. Unbelievable. And even though the video came out, didn't matter. The media had already found these guys guilty, Covenant Catholic High School. Same thing with Kyle Rittenhouse. Got to play this audio for you. This is from our good friends over at Libs of TikTok. Now, we've been telling you about the sex and gender revolutionaries. The person you're about to hear is a non-binary assistant professor at Old Dominion University. This is not some sort of a community college. This is a prominent school, Old Dominion University. And what they're trying to do, this individual is attracted to little children. Now, we used to call that pedophilia. But now this assistant professor is recommending we call it something else to normalize the behavior. I want you to hear it for yourself.
I use the term minor attracted person or MAP in the title and throughout the book for multiple reasons. First of all, because I think it's important to use terminology for groups that members of that group want others to use for them. And MAP advocacy groups like Before You Act have advocated for use of the term MAP. They've advocated for it primarily because it's less stigmatizing than other terms like pedophile. A lot of people, when they hear the term pedophile, they automatically assume that it means a sex offender. And that isn't true, and it leads to a lot of misconceptions about attractions toward minors. I've definitely heard the idea that you brought up, though, that the use of the term minor attracted person suggests that it's okay to be attracted to children. But using a term that communicates who someone is attracted to doesn't indicate anything about the morality of that attraction.
No, it does! Yeah. So the pedophiles now want to be known as MAPS, M-A-P-S. That stands for minor attracted persons. That, seriously, this is, folks, this is a non-binary assistant professor, Old Dominion University, writing a book about this topic.
We're coming for your children.
Now, does the song that the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorale sang, thank you, Kyle, for triggering me there. Does that make sense now? They're coming for the kids. I'm just saying. So you can't say pedophile anymore. You got to say MAPS, minor attracted persons. 844-747-8868. Still a pedophile in my mind. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Welcome back to our Liberty University studios. And by the way, if you are doing Christmas shopping, might want to head over to the Todd Stearns Radio Show store. We have some great products, all of my books there. And the brand new devotion book makes a terrific stocking stuffer, and I will personally autograph that for you over at toddstearns.com. So look, we have been teasing you for the past 90 minutes or so about the situation involving Project Veritas and the FBI and the New York Times. So here's what you need to know in a nutshell. So the FBI raided several homes of people affiliated with Project Veritas, one of them being James O'Keefe. And the pretext was about it involved the diary of Ashley Biden. This there's a probe about the Ashley Biden diary. Project Veritas did not publish excerpts because they were not able to verify the authenticity of the diary. But what I find very interesting is that after the FBI raided Project Veritas and they got their hands on all of this, these privileged communications, the New York Times ended up getting copies. And that's a problem. And our next guest says this is a scandal. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us the publisher of Human Events, our good friend Will Chamberlain. Will, good to have you back with us.
Absolutely. Great to be with you, Todd.
All right. So when you're hearing all of this, Will, from the legal perspective, and, of course, you've got the journalism and the legal side here, what was going through your mind?
Well, it's just I follow Adam Goldman, the New York Times reporter on Twitter, and he tweeted out this article promising a scoop on Project Veritas's legal approach. And the moment I read the article, I realized, wait a second, he's got attorney-client privilege documents. You know, that's the very first thing that jumped out, because he's talking about legal memoranda written by Project Veritas's lawyer to the company about the legal wisdom of certain courses of journalistic action and, you know, what laws constrain their activities. That's the classic kind of legal memo that I wrote as when I was practicing law. That would have been privileged, that what I would have expected never to appear in a newspaper, because, you know, there's no one who would disclose it, one, and then anybody who it was accidentally disclosed to would recognize, oh, this is privileged material and it needs to go back to the owner. So the fact that it's suddenly showing up in the New York Times, I was like, whoa. And then I just thought to myself, wait, the FBI raided Project Veritas last week? That seems like an obvious place where that kind of material would have been acquired. I followed up. It turns out, you know, the New York Times had been tipped off about those FBI raids, because the New York Times was able to make a phone call to the people raided within minutes of the raid occurring, the only outlet able to do so. And then all of a sudden, you know, a week later, suddenly we're seeing privilege memorandum showing up in the New York Times. And it's not like the memorandum were substantively damaging to Project Veritas. They just show that Project Veritas tries to, like every company, remain within the bounds of the law, understand the legal constraints that, you know, the things that constrain its action. The scandal is that it's privileged content showing up in a newspaper.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Will Chamberlain, you know, I think the New York Post did a good job of pointing that out as well, that all the memos showed was that Project Veritas was trying to make sure they were working within the confines of the law here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I mean, Project Veritas tries to do investigative reporting, get undercover. And when they do that, there are constraints on its behavior. They're not allowed to lie to federal officials. And so they got a legal opinion about exactly how that law constrains what they can do, which is something, you know, a responsible journalistic outlet would do if they were going to try and do investigative journalism, like what is illegal, what is not. So substantively, it's not damaging, but it's the fact that, again, it's privilege being violated. And the question is, who violated it? It seems very likely that the FBI, you know, or some rogue actor at the FBI took advantage of the fact that they were in possession of Project Veritas communications and took the opportunity to leak those to the New York Times, who, by the way, are currently in a lawsuit with Project Veritas, the defamation lawsuit. And so, you know, if the other party in litigation is getting a hold of your attorney-client privilege material, it's really a scandal.
Yeah, I weighed in on your reporting of this, and you know, my take on it was that the FBI sure appears to be colluding with the New York Times to take down Project Veritas. And it really is, you mentioned the term rogue. I mean, my concern is this may not be rogue. This may be the standard operating procedure at the FBI. I mean, when you go back and look at the Steele dossier, the Russia collusion hoax, all that kind of stuff, it is very troubling what's happening within the FBI right now.
Yeah, it may be rogue, or it may be, you know, there may be a group of people conspiring. We don't know. I mean, at a minimum, there should be an inspector general investigation at the FBI to figure out if the materials that appeared in the New York Times were a product of a leak at the FBI, and if so, who's responsible? Because that's criminal. I mean, I'm almost certain it's criminal. There's just the idea that FBI officials who are responsible and who have possession of sensitive documents that acquired via a search warrant could then leak privileged documents to a newspaper, and that wouldn't be criminal. I mean, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. It'd be like leaking, I mean, not quite maybe the same gravity as leaking classified information, but it should be thought of in the same vein. Leaking attorney-client privilege information.
And again, this speaks highly to what you guys are doing at Human Events. But for me, how is it that no one else, even in the conservative media world, is covering this story? This is a big deal. I mean, outside of you guys and The Liberty Daily, I don't know of anyone else who is even touching this.
I saw American Greatness did a pretty good write-up on it, and Project Veritas's lawyer, Harmeet Dhillon, did a very good job yesterday on Tucker Carlson kind of explaining what went on. So it's, you know, obviously she's going to have something to say about it because she's the lawyer involved, and it's maybe her
of
own
course.
Communications that have been provided to the New York Times. Who knows? But I think more, you know, it's really just, it's kind of jarring because it's almost a situation where it's not like this is original reporting. It's just realizing the obvious meaning of a New York Times article. Like New York Times wrote this article as though the lead was, look at how Project Veritas tries to stay within the confines of the law, when really the lead of their own story is, we acquired and published privileged information from our adversary in a major piece of litigation.
So,
like, so why did you do that?
So the Times is saying, we broke the law to show how Project Veritas doesn't break the law.
Right. It's funny. They accuse Project Veritas of, like, they, you know, on the borderline between journalism and political spying while they're publishing their adversaries. Privileged information. There's just a complete lack of self-awareness here as to how, I mean, every, you know, I know a lot of respected lawyers, and, you know, I advocate for a lot of pro-Trump things and a lot of right-wing things that don't always get the lawyers on my side, but every lawyer who has responded to this has been like, I cannot believe the New York Times published this. It's super irresponsible and at a minimum, and almost, and actually looks like something very nefarious is going on.
Well, Will, you and I both know Harmeet very well, and I will say they have picked the wrong attorney to mess with over the New York Times.
Agreed, agreed. She's not going to let this go, and I'm certain, you know, there. I think there was already, she already won a court order forcing them to stop examining James O'Keefe's phones, right, precisely because of these concerns. I'm sure she's going to bring up the fact that somehow privileged communications have just shown up in the front page of the New York Times as a result of this kind of BS pretextual raid on a journalist's offices.
Well, look, Will, we got to get you back for another time. I'm very curious to know how you guys just turned around the ship there at Human Events. The magazine had fallen on hard times until you jumped on board, and now you're just blowing it, just running and gunning, man, and doing some great work. And we'll get you back because I want to hear that story one of these days.
Absolutely. Happy to be with you, Todd.
All right. Will Chamberlain, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't read Human Events, you should. It is a great publication. Our good friend Jack Posobiec is over there as well writing, and they're breaking some big stories of the day. And this is one of the biggest. My concern is we're not dealing with rogue agents within the FBI. We are dealing with a tainted culture. And at this point, you know, going back to Hoover, and you can you can say what you want to about J. Edgar, but by golly, they were not in bed with anybody. That may be a poor choice of words when we're talking about Hoover, but you know what I'm talking about here. It has become entirely politicized, and I don't think the FBI is looking out for the interest of the American people. My recommendation, you get a knock on the door from the FBI, first of all, don't answer. Second, pick up the phone and call your attorney. I wouldn't talk to the FBI. I would not even say howdy do, because they'll get you. They'll get you on something. You could have the FBI agent on the front porch saying, it's a lovely day, isn't it? Well, you know, yeah, I guess it's a lovely. It's not a lovely day. You're under arrest. You lied to the FBI. Look, this is how evil these people are. And when you see how the FBI just handled Project Veritas, that was not an investigation. That wasn't an attempt to bring down a journalism organization that was breaking news and exposing truth in the government and in the media and being very effective about it. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Now, we also have a trivia question out there. And this may be a little easy now. I don't know, but we want to know who founded Project Veritas. 844-747-8868. Who founded Project Veritas? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back, folks. All right, America, welcome back. Let's get to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Tom in Pennsylvania hanging out with us on the awesome KWAM app. Hey, Tom, hope you're doing good today.
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
Tom, I'm doing well. We're going to try to win you a prize. We want to know about Project Veritas. Who is the founder of Project Veritas?
James O'Keefe.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. By the way, Tom, we understand they actually used a battering ram to knock down the door of his apartment when the FBI came knocking. Can you believe that?
Yeah, like he was the mob or something.
No, it's just terrible. Well, just like, oh, was it Roger Stone and the others, or was it Paul Manafort, where CNN was given the heads up and they were parked in the front lawn? You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable the way they bully people.
It's disgusting. Can I tell you something real quick?
Sure.
First time I heard you was Christmas morning, about 8 or 9 years ago. They were replaying on WCBM your Christmas special.
I remember that.
Done. And I thought, man, this guy sounds great. I got to find him. And I've been listening to you ever since.
Well, Tom, we're just honored to have you as a part of our great audience. And, man, I appreciate you calling in. And we're gonna send you a copy of the new book. So hang tight. Grace is going to hop on the line, and she's going to get all your details. And we're going to send you a copy of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. So we're going to get Harmeet Dhillon on the show next week. But I will say this. She is a force to be reckoned with. And if you find yourself in hot water with the FBI, you want Harmeet on your side. She was on Tucker Carlson's show last night, and we're efforting some audio from that interview where she just laid it out what they did to James O'Keefe. And if you've watched Newsmax, you've seen James O'Keefe. He's just a regular Joe. He's certainly doesn't look all that intimidating. But for the FBI to show up at the front door of his apartment with a battering ram and to knock down the front door, that's appalling. That should not happen here in the United States of America. And it's unbelievable. But this is the reality of what Obama did to our government agencies. He weaponized many of our federal agencies, FBI being chief among them. And we can only hope that at the end of the day, that John Durham actually lives up to his promise and we're able to get at least a measure of justice here. So we're going to work on that audio. We'll try to get that to you sometime in the show so you can hear Harmeet in her own words explaining what happened at James O'Keefe's apartment after the FBI knocked down the front door. It's just despicable, and it's disgraceful and disgusting. And the list of adjectives goes on and on and on. All right, let's go to the phones. North Carolina, Turner on the talk station. Hey, Turner, what's happening? What's on your mind?
Well, I heard you the other day talking about President Trump was wanting to people to consider boycotting certain companies, and I've been doing that for many years if somebody ticked me off. But with all the Major League Baseball move and the people that supported that. I'm not a wealthy person, but in my IRAs, I've got a little bit of mad money. I have it in an account where it doesn't cost me anything to buy a share of stock. So any of these idiot companies that want to do something like that, if their stock is less than $50, I will own one share so I can vote against every board member. And the ones that let me ask questions, I ask how many of their board members, which of their board members are woke. And if I've got double jeopardy on them, I do own one that I paid $100 and some for. That was Nike. Between Kaepernick and the way they did at Atlanta, I figured I can double my dose there. My wife always argued, you're stupid, you're throwing away money. Nah, it doesn't cost me anything to trade. And quite honestly, several of the ones I've bought single, I'm ahead on. And when MyPillow was kicked out of so many retails, I wrote Mike and wanted to know what retailers had kicked him out. And everyone I could buy for less than $50, I now own a share of stock in.
Is that right? So what are you doing with? So why are you doing that? I'm with your wife. I don't get it.
I get to vote at every shareholders meeting.
All right.
I get a proxy. If a million.
So it gives you a voice. It gives you a voice.
If a million people would do what I'm doing, we could get somebody's attention.
Well, you know, that Turner, that's actually an interesting thought. I really hadn't thought of that, but it does give you a seat at the table, and it gives you a voice. And I don't know if maybe to your point, if enough people stood up and said something, might be able to, you know, I don't know, facilitate some change.
Listen, I can't play golf anymore. I have arthritic spurs on my spine.
Oh,
the stock I buy costs me no more than a round of golf would, and I get to aggravate somebody.
So, so you're having a good day. That's
I'm a weirdo, but
All right, Turner, we gotta leave it there, my friend. We're coming up against a news break, and I do need to get some info for you folks, from our good friend Mike Lindell. By the way, so many of you have been buying stuff as a result of this program that Mike gave us our own page. And so now if you go to MyPillow.com/Starnes, that's MyPillow.com/Starnes, Mike is going to give you just right out of the gate $10 off. And he's got all sorts of great specials for you, including some brand new patriotic MyPillows. And if you buy a set of three patriotic MyPillows, you're going to get Mike's memoir, which is an incredible book. And these are beautiful pillows. They've got the Statue of Liberty, the American flag, just beautiful stuff. And also the MyPillow dog beds. You're going to save tons of money. 75% off the classic MyPillow, but only if you go to my page, MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use my promo code, and you're going to get some great deals and great Christmas presents, too. Got to take a break. We'll be right back, folks.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us. Hope you're doing well wherever you might be. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. By the way, our website, which is, man, the traffic this week has been insane over on the website, toddstarnes.com, and some great resources for you there on the website, including our free newsletter as well as our podcast. I think over the past week or so, we've added about 1,000 new subscribers to the newsletter. So you guys keep up the great work there as we continue to grow our audience. And we think we have the best audience in all of talk radio, and you guys are just pretty awesome folks. So look, before the break, I promised you I would play some audio from the attorney of James O'Keefe, Project Veritas. Harmeet Dillon is her name. Harmeet's been on the show plenty of times in the past, and she was on with Tucker Carlson last night. Let's play that audio.
So here's an interesting story. During the final days of the last election, Project Veritas, the journalism group, looked into a story about the missing diary of Ashley Biden, the president's daughter. They didn't run anything on it. So just the other day, the FBI knocks down their door looking for this, purely a political investigation, obviously. Then today, the New York Times publishes a whole bunch of privileged, confidential, secret, private legal documents from Project Veritas. Amazing how that works. Harmeet Dillon is a famed civil rights attorney, managing partner at the Dillon Law Group. She represents James O'Keefe in this story. She joins us tonight with the very latest on it. Harmeet, thanks a lot for coming on. This, I don't know what even to say about it. Is the connection, the obvious connection, real? I mean, what is this?
Well, our client James O'Keefe's home was raided on Saturday morning by the FBI. They had a battering ram, and they threw him out in the hallway and took, you know, in handcuffs and took his phones. Now, a lot of privileged information was on his phones, including communications with, by my count, 4 dozen different lawyers over the years. And coincidentally, this publication came out this afternoon from the New York Times. Now, I can't say with a certainty how the New York Times got this information. information, but I can say that they got it in a way that is illegal and unethical. And so we have to ask that question. And so, you know, what we have right now is a very disturbing situation of the U.S. Attorney's Office and or the FBI tipping off the New York Times to each of the raids on Project Veritas's current and former employees last week. We know that because minutes after these raids occurred, they got calls from the New York Times, which is the only journalism outlet that knew about it. And they published this hit piece today, which is really despicable. I don't think I've ever seen this low from the New York Times before to publish people's private legal communications. And by the way, what does it prove, New York Times? All it proves is that Project Veritas is an honest and thoughtful journalistic organization that sought legal advice before making various publications.
Well, there you go. So I say good for you, Harmeet Dhillon. You folks at the New York Times, good luck. I'm telling you, you don't want to mess with Harmeet. Interesting story out of East Tennessee, Van Buren County. So there is a high school there, Van Buren County High School, and they have a girls' basketball team. The boys are the Eagles, and the girls are the Eaglettes, or the Lady Eagles, but they call them the Eaglettes. And there's a guy who's been the coach there since 2016. His name is Tyler Sapp, and Tyler is a pretty darn good girls' basketball coach. Now, Grace Baker, correct me if I'm wrong, did you play basketball?
For almost 10 years.
You did. All right. Mm-hmm. So you were on a team.
I played church ball and competitively.
Now, through that 10-year span of your life, your coaches, were they men or women?
Mostly men.
Okay.
I had a couple women coaches.
How was that? I mean, having a guy as your coach.
I liked it personally.
Why did you like it?
I just feel like, I mean, I didn't really have a huge preference one way or the other, but like it didn't make me uncomfortable or anything like that. I enjoyed having, you know, a guy be in charge of our team, but I also enjoyed a woman. I really didn't care.
You just wanted a good coach.
I wanted a good coach.
Somebody who would be competent.
Yes.
And win.
For sure.
Okay.
And you know, who, you know, didn't chew us out all the time for no reason, which the guys normally didn't.
Oh boy, that sounds like me. Jeez, hello. Great. So let
no
me.
Okay.
So I'm curious to get your thoughts on this story, Grace. You know where I'm going with this?
Yes, I do.
So Tyler Sapp, he was named Coach of the Year, had a 24-3 record last year. That's pretty good.
That's really good.
And this is District 5A, so that's a pretty you're up there.
Yeah.
It's not like single A, you know,
no.
Basketball. You're talking about a pretty competitive bracket.
Sure.
In high school athletics. So anyway, the guy, Coach of the Year, 24-3, he was called into a meeting with the athletic director and the principal. This is a good guy. Never been in any trouble at all. There have been no allegations at all. Just a good guy. As a matter of fact, Tyler says the only reason he teaches, I believe he teaches economics, but he says the only reason he teaches is so that he can coach. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be a coach.
I know people who have done exactly that.
So the coach was called into a meeting with the school's athletic director, the assistant principal, and the principal, and he thought it was just like, hey, how's it going? What y'all got planned for Thanksgiving? How much are you paying for the Butterball?
Oh, boy.
Just a casual conversation, and they said, Coach, you're fired.
That was quite the plot twist.
And I mean, it was just right out of the gate, and they told him that they believed a woman should actually be coaching the girls' basketball team. They said that they had gotten some complaints from parents, and they said that it was of their opinion that they needed the community wanted a woman in the position. They were uncomfortable with a male coach. And so they said, sorry, coach, but you're fired because you're a dude.
All I can think of when I hear that is somebody with money that donates. There's something money-wise, because I don't think you just come out to a coach that's winning that much and go, you're fired because they want a women coach. Where did that come from?
A guy with a spotless record.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Who has never gotten in trouble before and who's delivering. I mean, clearly a very successful basketball program there.
I mean, and not even to tell them what the actual complaints were or who they were from.
Or maybe the big money donor has a daughter who wants to coach.
That's what I'm saying. There's something sketchy there with the money. I think that's absolutely absurd. Either way, if it was the reverse and it was a woman coaching a men's team and she was doing a great job and they came to her and said, yeah, you're fired, they want a man. That'd be wrong, too.
So the problem is the season starts, what, next week? I mean,
yeah,
it's already started.
Time.
Yeah, it's already started. And so he was like, are you people nuts?
That's why I'm saying there has to, I think it all goes back to the money. There's something.
So we'll he told out. Them, he said, you can't do this. This is sexist. You can't fire me just for being a man. You know what I would have done? I would have self-identified. His name is Tyler. I would have said, call me Taylor.
There you go.
Hey.
A woman could be called Tyler.
That's true.
It could be.
Okay. It could be. All right. He didn't have to change his name.
Yeah.
Just change his demeanor, put on some high heels, get a little polyester pantsuit.
I'm just saying. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Right. Exactly. Oh, he teaches PE and economics.
And just for, again, it to come out of nowhere and he has a spotless record to say, yeah, they're uncomfortable. Like, where did that come from? Unless something had actually happened that was, you know, I just don't think.
So the word is that they're rehiring the guy. So the Chattanooga Times Free Press says that they have reinstated the girls' basketball coach. My question, who in their right mind would go back?
Probably for the girls and not for anybody else. Seriously, like for your players. But, like, no, I would. Otherwise, I'd be like, see you later.
I mean, that's outrageous. But I'm telling you, and by the way, just for the sake of what I'm about to say, he's a white guy. And I'm telling you, Grace, I just think, at least in sports, and especially the education world, there's a great big target on you, especially if you are a straight white Christian man.
Can't have that.
You can't have that. Can't have a white. You can't have a white guy telling these girls what to do.
Sexist.
It is.
For a sport they signed up for voluntarily.
Right, exactly. I would have just self-identified. That's what I would have done. So there you go. So the update is that he has been reinstated.
Good.
But the poor guy was fired.
Oh, it's messed up.
It's a national embarrassment.
It's terrible.
What they ought to do is go in and fire all the people who fired him.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I think money, money, money.
You think that's what it is?
Yep.
So
something
you think this is all about money. When they said community, I thought, okay.
Money, money, money.
Those high school athletics on the local level, it's just...
It is super
it's
competitive.
Very competitive.
Especially here in Memphis. Gosh.
Remember, there was an old TV show. You might remember this. Friday Night Lights.
I know of it.
So it was, you know, it told the story, the backstory of all the, you know, the booster clubs with high school football in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is a big business. And a lot of these guys, if you own a local car dealership, you own the local bank, I mean, this is your opportunity to be, and you know, at the same level of an Alabama Crimson Tide booster. You know what I mean?
Live vicariously through.
Oh, that's exactly
players.
What it is. That's exactly what
that's
it is.
That's what I'm saying. It's I guarantee you it's something to do with money.
Well, again, it goes back to this war on men in America. And I guarantee you we're going to see more of this, and it's going to become more and more blatant as these kids graduate from the colleges and the universities and they go through the woke HR classes. And I think we'll probably what they're doing is they're going to be conditioning, especially straight white guys, just not to apply for these jobs. You know, how dare you? Who do you think you are to apply for a job just because you're a white person? I mean, that's really what this is all about at its root. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844. Wait a second. What is our telephone number, Grace? 844-747-8868. Got slightly sidetracked there. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, folks. Got to tell you about our good friends over at Patriot Mobile. Just in time for Christmas, by the way. What a great time to go ahead and change your service provider for your smartphone. And the reason I love Patriot Mobile is because they share my value system. They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They donate money to organizations that I care about. They're not going to be donating to Planned Parenthood or the Human Rights Campaign. They're going to be donating to pro-life organizations, pro-family, pro-Second Amendment organizations. And I want to encourage you to switch to Patriot Mobile. If you would like information, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Use my first name as the promo code, and they're going to give you free premier activation. By the way, Patriot Mobile, they have the broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the other guys use, and they have a plan to fit any budget. Remember I told you about those discounts? If you're a first responder, if you are a veteran, they're going to give you even more discounts. Again, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or give them a call at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. So I want to throw out another trivia question here. I'm sort of in a mood, a giving mood today. Which famous NFL player has been under fire for not getting the China virus vaccine? One specific NFL player, very famous, under fire for not getting the China virus vaccine. If you know the answer, give us a call. By the way, if you have won something over the past, 30 days, you can't win again. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I want to share some information with you about the China virus vaccine. And I want you to pay very close attention to what I'm about to say here. It turns out that natural immunity actually works. But here's why no one's talking about natural immunity. And it's a very simple answer. Because if you have natural immunity, that means you don't need to get the jab. You don't need to spend $100, $200 on Big Pharma. You don't have to do that. And that's why Big Pharma doesn't want you talking about natural immunity. Well, it turns out that the CDC says it has no record of an unvaccinated person spreading the China virus after recovering from the China virus. The same cannot be said of someone who actually gets the vaccine and then spreads the China virus. Now, all of this came about as the result of a FOIA, that's a Freedom of Information Act request, from September, asking for documents about anyone who has never received a COVID-19 vaccine. And they got the information they were looking for. There are a couple of disturbing stories to share with you. This is from the great reporting of our friends at thelibertydaily.com. A 28-year-old physical therapist, perfectly healthy young lady, she got the Moderna vaccine, and 2 days later, she's dead. Haley Brinkmeyer from Evansville, Indiana. She died at her home after getting the Moderna vaccine. Her mother is demanding answers. She took the shot on Tuesday, January the 19th, to protect the people at the senior living center community where she worked. She woke up sick the next morning, according to her husband. She had just gotten her PhD, had gotten married in 2018. She was found dead in her home January 21st. Her mom says, "I personally think the Moderna injection caused the abrupt death of my daughter. The county coroner ruled her death as diabetic ketoacidosis and told me there was not enough data out there to determine whether or not the Moderna injection caused her death." I'm just curious. Anybody else concerned by the number of people? And again, a lot of these stories are being squelched. But the ones that are popping up, a perfectly healthy young people getting the vaccine and then dropping dead, and then they turn around and say, "Oh, it has nothing to do with the vaccine." Do you believe that argument? 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Ron in Maine on WLOB. All right, Ron, the question, we want to know who that famous NFL player is who got in trouble because he didn't tell the truth about the vaccine.
That would be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's right, Ron. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a problem with the – honestly, it was nobody's business whether he got it or not. That was my estimation. So I don't necessarily have a problem with how he played that out.
No, I don't either. I don't either, honestly. I think it's none of anybody's business.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ron. I'm with you. Well, look, congratulations, Ron. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get you hooked up with a prize. And we'll have some more trivia later on this hour of the program. But, again, going back to the question at hand, are you concerned? Maybe you have not been vaccinated yet. You're hearing these stories, and you're wondering, wait a second, what the heck is going on? because the government's telling us none of these people died because of the vaccine, even though they were perfectly healthy before they got the vaccine and they dropped dead. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back, America. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And we do want to hear from you. If you have suffered some sort of a side effect after getting the vaccine, we would like to hear from you. 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Also, if you have been fired or if you've lost your job as a result of refusing to get the vaccine, we'd like to hear from you as well. And I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We have an anonymous guest, and we've been able to check out this person's story. We've been working on this for a couple of days now to make sure this interview would happen. And we have agreed that we would not name the nurse who is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now, but she worked for the Ascension St. Thomas Hospital in the Nashville area. And the allegation is that nurses are being fired or voluntarily resigned because they will not get the vaccine. So we're going to go right to the phone here. And we want to say, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Now, I want you to take us through what happened. Now, how long did you work at the hospital?
I worked there exactly 5 years.
So 5 years. And tell us some of the things that you did as a nurse at the hospital.
So I worked in the recovery room and in the surgical department. And then most recently, I worked in the pre-admission testing department.
Why'd you want to be a nurse?
Oh, I've been a nurse for 35 years. It was just always something I wanted to do. From the time I was a little girl, I just knew I wanted to be a nurse and take care of people.
When did you realize, and take me through the process, like many hospitals, I'm sure that orders came down. When did that happen for y'all?
So it was right around August 1st. We got an email from corporate saying that we would be placed under the vaccine mandate with a deadline given of November 12th. We were told that we could comply with that, that we would need to receive two of the vaccines to be fully vaccinated by November 12th, or we would be unable to continue working as of that date. We were offered the opportunity to file either a medical or a religious exemption. I filed for a religious exemption that was immediately denied.
Is that right? Now, tell me about the religious exemption.
So I filed mine under the fact that I wasn't willing to inject things into my body, that I looked at my body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't sure what was in this vaccine. Nobody seems to be able to say exactly how this vaccine works or the long-term effects of it or how it could affect us, you know, in a year or in 5 years or all of those things. So I just decided that wasn't, you know, I'm careful about what I put in my body. I read labels and I exercise and I work very hard to be healthy. And I just didn't feel like that was the right decision for me to make.
Now, I have a couple of questions that are sort of, they're all connected here. But so first mm-hmm. of all, you went to college. Is that right?
Yes.
So tell me about the degrees that you have.
I have a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing, a BSN.
All right, a BSN. All righty. Mm-hmm. And I have to imagine you went through years of additional training over the course of your, 35-year career?
Of course, with different areas that I worked in, I went through different orientations and certifications and training to, you know, become, to be able to do well at what I was doing at that particular time. Yeah.
Because the narrative here is that people who refuse the vaccine or want to claim a medical or religious exemption are uneducated. They probably are, you know, for lack of a better term, they would call them rednecks. But here you are, mm-hmm. a very well-educated, professionally trained nurse. What was it, and what are you seeing, and your fellow nurses, what are you guys seeing at the hospital that is giving you guys pause for concern here?
Well, it's not just at the hospital, but it's, you know, beyond. But at the hospital, you know, we're seeing that the vaccine doesn't necessarily protect you from the vaccine or from spreading it. You know, there are people hospitalized that have been vaccinated, as well as those who haven't been, of course. You know, and as we read anything that's out there, no one actually can answer any questions about the long-term effects of this vaccine. And if we're going to really look at the science, which is what I've chosen to do for my own body, I had COVID last year. I got tested in August for the antibodies and had a good high number of them. And I just retested actually Tuesday, November 9th, and my numbers have remained the same. So if we're going to truly look at the science, let's look at the way that our bodies were designed and our immune system. You know, and my immune system is working well. I have the antibodies, and it's protecting me from being sick. I'm very healthy, even though I've been very much exposed to COVID at work up until yesterday when my last day was, you know. So that's that what I based my decision on.
So let's go back to that timeline. So in August, they send out the letter. How have your fellow nurses and fellow staff, how have they responded? Have any of them been fired? Have they resigned from their jobs?
Well, those in my department, which were 25% of us, were unvaccinated, all filed for an exemption of some sort, and all were denied. So we continued on. We had virtually zero communication from corporate about how this would look. All it kept saying, the narrative just kept repeating, November 12th is the deadline, November 12th is the deadline. But they never gave us any further information about what this would look like, and would we be ushered out of the building on November 12th? What would happen to our benefits? What would happen to our insurance? These kind of things. So nothing much was said all the way through until this week when we got a memo saying that, you know, the deadline still held, November 12th, you still had time to comply with the vaccine mandate. If you didn't comply by November 12th, then you would be placed on suspension. Your badge and your credentials would no longer work for you at work. We were taken off of the schedule as of this week and told that we had until January 4th to comply. And if we didn't comply by January 4th, then we would be terminated. And at that point, our PTO will be paid out.
My goodness. So what has been so you said this week was your last week. What happened?
You know, I showed up for work on my normally scheduled days, and my last day I clocked out and I came home. That's what happened.
So were you fired? Were you voluntarily resigned?
Well, I reached out to my nurse manager on Monday and I said, so my last day on the schedule is November 12th. I'm not resigning. I said to her, I said, so are you firing me because I am no longer scheduled after November 10th? And she said, no, you are not being fired. You are being voluntarily terminated because you no longer meet the qualifications of employment here because you have not received the vaccine. So if you don't receive the vaccine by the 4th, then you will be terminated, 4th of January, and you will be terminated. But I'm no longer on the schedule, and my badge no longer enables me to enter the building or to enter the computer system.
What are you hearing from any of your other the nurses and staff? Anybody else facing the same fate that you are?
Absolutely. The ones from my department all are out as of today, and numerous others. I wish I could give you the exact number. You know, I don't know how many are leaving the hospital. I heard it was somewhere around 100, but I can't verify that at all.
That's a pretty large number, though.
Well, it's a huge number. And when you look at staffing shortages at hospitals across the nation prior to this situation, you know, it makes me wonder what kind of care is going to be rendered in hospitals now. I know they're bringing in travelers. They're offering huge bonuses and hourly pay rates on contracted nurses, this kind of thing to help fill in the gap. But there's absolutely no way, there's just no way that they can
staff these units appropriately, you know, with a safe nurse-to-patient ratio.
When you hear the reports of, you know, we just told our listeners about a 28-year-old physical therapist, has a PhD, just got married, got the vaccine, the Moderna vaccine. 2 days later, she's dead. You've got football players, you know, the Minnesota Vikings, the whole team has been vaccinated. One of the players rushed to the hospital, and, we're not being told what it's about, but they believe it's COVID-related. When you hear these kinds of stories about perfectly healthy, active, athletic people that are dropping because of getting the vaccine, does that give you concern?
It makes me want to lose my mind and shake people and say, wake up. Why are you not paying attention to the information that's out there? You know, I think that the vaccine related adverse effects are severely underreported, you know, and of course it doesn't ever make mainstream media any of that information. It's hard to find. But just looking at those examples that you just stated, why wouldn't people wake up and say, my goodness, what is wrong here? Why aren't we looking at these cases?
It's a great question. It really is, and one that needs to be addressed. I'm curious about your future. What are your next steps? What are your plans?
Well, I've got a couple of job offers at places in my town, some that are not requiring the vaccine as of yet, some that are granting religious exemptions, you know, across the board in order to keep their staff. So I'm just going to move forward from here and trust that, you know, God has something better for me, that he's going to take care of me and get me in the right spot. And I'm going to love my next position of taking care of patients wherever it is that I end up.
Well, good for you. And I have to imagine Ascension St. Thomas, is that a Catholic hospital?
It is a Catholic hospital, yes.
Well, they're not behaving like Catholics.
I would agree.
My goodness. Yes. All right. Well, anonymous nurse, thank you, and we wish you the very best. You've got our contact information, and we want you to, you know, let us know if you have any other details. That's really the purpose of talk radio these days, is to share information the mainstream media wants to cover up.
Absolutely. I am so thankful for this opportunity to have come on your show. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, and best of luck to you. The anonymous nurse, all right, from Ascension St. Thomas Hospital. And we're going to put this on the podcast, and I would encourage you this afternoon to share this interview. These are the kinds of stories we need to hear about. And it always fascinates me. They never talk to these nurses and doctors who are refusing to get the jab. And the reporters are so derelict in their duties, their responsibilities. It seems to me those are the individuals that you would be clamoring to interview. We're talking about very educated, highly skilled, highly trained individuals. They know something. They see what's going on, and they don't want to put that into their bodies. Those are the people that we need to be hearing from on the nightly news, not the lemmings who are just lining up to get the jab. We need to be hearing from those people who are educated, trained, and they see what's going on. And you just heard it from this nurse here. So, look, we're going to take a break. I'm very curious to hear from you. Maybe you know somebody who lost their job. Maybe you're one of those people who says, Todd, not going to go down that path, not getting the jab. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Marv in Statesville, North Carolina. WSIC. Marv, what's on your mind today?
Well, I think Biden's doing the COVID backwards, along with many other things that he's doing backwards. He is requiring the people that are working to get the COVID or get fired, laid off, just like the nurse that you just had on. What they should be doing, since all the statistics show that the COVID is more rampant in the lower ends of the income brackets, they should require everybody coming in for assistance to have vaccinations. Otherwise, they're cut off.
So you want people, if they're gonna go on welfare, they've got to get a vaccine.
They want to collect any welfare monies, they have to be fully vaccinated. Yes. Requiring that of the people that work, required of the people that are on welfare.
Marv, I just don't think anybody should be forced to get any vaccine. Even if they're on welfare, they could say, okay, well, all of you people on Social Security, you've got to get the vaccine or you don't get a check.
I agree with you, but they're requiring of the people that are working, so require it also of the people that are on welfare.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander who doesn't want to get a job.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you know, all right. I see your point there. I see your point. Yeah, look, I think the key here is, and I believe the judicial system is going to fix this in a pretty quick manner. But my concern are the numbers of nurses. I mean, you heard it from our anonymous nurse. Over 100 people that she knows of were let go from that hospital. That's nothing to, you know, that's nothing just to dismiss. That is a big deal.
Same with our first responders, our police officers, our firemen.
Yeah.
It's throughout.
It's a good point you raised, Mar. Appreciate the call. God bless. Sharon writes in from Moorhead City, North Carolina. Todd, are you coming to promote your book? We're working on it, Sharon. We're working on it. And Moorhead City, Statesville, North Carolina, we had to cancel on you poor folks. I've never had to ditch a date before, Grace, and I felt so bad. But I'm heading in the right direction.
Listen, you don't want to go visit people, new people you've never met before when you have a loose screw.
Thank you, Grace.
Not a great first impression.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. By the way, you got to see the picture. Did you see the picture on the Instagram?
Oh, I did. That's something.
People are weighing in. People are not very kind. Or, you know, there's not a lot of mercy in this.
You post it, just be prepared.
I know. I already told you, Stearns had a loose screw. That's a fat foot he's got.
I mean, your own family's been picking on you about
it. Oh, that is the family.
Oh.
That is the family.
Jeez, they're the worst about it.
It's a rough crowd. So we have a photograph. The doctor was kind enough. He's like, hey, here's a picture of your x-ray.
And I'm here's a souvenir.
What am I supposed to do with this? So I put it on Instagram. You guys have been after me. Todd, you got to put compelling content on Instagram.
Oh, that's compelling. It caught my eye, all right.
I just
scroll past that one.
I thought it would. I didn't.
Like, boom. Thought Halloween was already passed, but boom.
Should we tell them why I've been a little anxious all afternoon on the show? I'm getting the procedure on the foot done in just under an hour now.
Whew.
And they told me that the nurse calls me three times last night, and she's getting all the stuff worked out because otherwise it was going to be December.
It done.
So they're like, we got to get this taken care of. And I said, well, what should I expect? And she said, pain. She
Whoa.
Says, this will be very painful for you. And I'm like, what?
At least she's not sugarcoating it,
no,
but man.
I was thinking, do I need to bring a magazine, you know, like a change of clothes? Do I need to wear the boot? What can I expect? Pain. You will be in agony.
Agony and pain. And agony.
I don't know why it is, but there used to be a great TV show called House. And the doctor in House had the worst bedside manner of any doctor. I get those doctors. They're great doctors, but the bedside manner, I'm just saying.
Hey, it's an important. I think you got to be good with people if you're going to be in that industry.
So all that to say, do not contact me tonight, people. And don't poke the bear tonight. Got to give me a couple of days to recover. So anyway, you're off to see the doctor. You folks, get out there. Have a great, great day. I want to thank Kyle and Grace doing a terrific job, as always. Have a great Friday, folks. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.